Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 188 of Getting It Out Podcast. That was Soul Blind with Third Chain. That's the title track off their upcoming EP, which drops September 16th on Other People Records. They just put out a video for this song. It's like a kaleidoscope. It's a lot of colors. It's moving all over the place. It's very 90s feel sonically and visually. Which is interesting because I don't know how old these guys are. And that doesn't really fucking matter either. I'm just saying it's interesting. It's cool to see the stuff that that I'm so used to and accustomed to and came up on become the revival type of music. maybe being played by people who weren't around for it back then. But hey, that's fine. I don't give a shit when you were born as long as you make cool music. Yeah, you know what? You can make bad music too. You got to start somewhere, all right? But I'll play your good music here on Getting It Out Podcast. And like I said, that was Soul Blind with Third Chain. They're from the Hudson Valley, New York area, which you may know as a place for very heavy music. All Out War, Sick Bay, Dissolve. I'm sure there's more, but I can't remember right now. Anyway, Soul Blind, cool band. Look for that EP coming September 16th. Okay, what's happening on this episode of the podcast? Well, I've got an interview with Daryl from the new band Foreign Pain out of Southern California. We're going to talk about their new record that's coming out on Good Fight Music. It's called Death of Divinity. We're going to touch on some other stuff, and we're not going to waste a lot of your time. So let's get into it.
Yeah, what's good, all you bitches and bitchettes? It's the illustrious Hot Dome back at it again with another podcast intro. He said, oh, you want to do a podcast intro for the Getting It Out podcast? I said, oh, shit, I got to write a rap verse, don't I? He said, no, you don't got to write a rap verse. It's a hardcore podcast. I said, all right, I think I can maybe make that happen. Let's see what we can do. make it. Make family out of friends, make friends out of enemies. Peace to my family, make friends till they bury me. All the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We be getting it in, where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We'll be getting it in, where you getting it out? Get in and out! Alright, motherfuckers, you're in the right place at the right time. Rest in peace, Jay Money, and NLFTW forever!
You know what? It's the end of August. This week, it'll turn September. The kids are back in school. The days are starting to get slightly shorter. I think it's safe to say summer's almost over. It's really depressing for me. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. We just got like the best summer album of the year released with Turnstile's Glow On over the weekend. And there was another good record from Chubby and the Gang. And there's a couple other good ones too. But everybody in the hardcore and punk rock community are talking about those two records specifically. And they're arguing about them too. But it seems to be universal that most people agree that they're great. But there are some of those weirdos that are like claiming what it is and isn't. You know, all the things that we consider hardcore under the umbrella of hardcore, if all those things are hardcore, how are those two records not? That, if you can explain that to me, if you can explain to me how All Out War is hardcore, Title Fight is hardcore, Ringworm is hardcore, Circle Jerks, you know, whatever, go every direction in the spectrum, you know, Vision of Disorder, I don't care. And Gorilla Biscuits, and then you can tell me the Turnstile or Chubby and the Gang aren't considered hardcore bands. That's weird, and it's just such a stupid thing to argue. And for some reason, we're all doing it. Okay, maybe we're not all doing it, and I can't say that I've gotten into any arguments about it, but I see them. All right, I see all these conversations happening out there on social media, and it's strange. I don't got the time to argue about that. That's not true. I probably do have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't want to. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to argue about it. I can do that right here, and you can't talk back. So listen, they are hardcore records, and they're both really good hardcore records. And Turnstile, I think, is on a whole nother level, and they're going to be a whole different type of band. And eventually, I don't think they will be a hardcore band, but good for them, man. They are a great example of what you can do with your art if you work extremely hard at it and you really push and you really believe in what you're doing and you truly take that DIY ethic to the top. It's amazing. We see it every couple years. Somebody breaks out like this every few years. It's not that often. And I love it. I don't give a fuck if they don't play the same style of music that they started on. And to be honest, I came a long way with Turnstile, and I think I know I'm not alone on this. When they started, I didn't care. Like a lot of people, I just consider them like a Trapped Under Ice 2. And I didn't need that. I was living in Baltimore. We had Trapped Under Ice. They had that record on Reaper, that first 7-inch, and I just didn't listen to it. Not out of spite or anything. I just didn't get around to it. And then they put out that second one, Step to Rhythm, and I was like, okay, I definitely don't like this. But something changed when they did that Nonstop Feeling record. I don't know what changed, probably my attitude. And I listened to it and I was like, oh damn, this is actually really cool. And then Time and Space, and then this. I don't really get down with the little singles, with those remix stuff. It doesn't do anything for me. But the albums, the three LPs in a row, killing it, is pretty spectacular for hardcore. And if you can't acknowledge that, you're lying. No, hardly anybody can release three stellar LPs in a row in hardcore. You're lucky if you get one good demo. Jesus Christ, just let's give them put a little respect on their names, right? Okay, so I don't want to talk about that stuff anymore. I do want to talk a little bit about personal stuff. I want to share it with you because I don't feel like I say enough. I thought about it the other day while I was running, that I have hours and hours of myself talking on this podcast. And when I die, there's going to be episodes about how my balls are too long for my age, right? But there probably won't be one where I just say something serious. And the end of summer really made me reflect on how fortunate myself and my family have been over the last couple years, and how thankful I am for all this time I got to spend with them. Because with the end of summer, that means the kids are back in school, and I'm now the only one at home, working from home. When this all started, you know, a year and a half ago or whatever, it was a chance for me and my family to all be with each other. And we all sat in the same room. My wife and I worked beside each other. My youngest daughter sat behind us because she was in first grade at the time. And our oldest sat in the corner on a recliner and did her school on a tablet. And it was totally strange, but it
was really important, and I think in retrospect, it's going to be like where we finally came together. That totally like a positive byproduct of the pandemic, and now that's all over, and I don't like that. I loved having my family around very close to me all the time, but it's I guess that's the new normal, right? Back to reality, and me being as selfish as I am doesn't want to do that. I love my kids. I love my wife. I loved life being isolated and quarantined, and I want it to continue. If we could do it all over again without all the dying and destruction of the world, I'd be all for it. But, you know, life goes on. Again, back to reality and back to business as far as the podcast goes. As I mentioned in the intro, this episode features an interview with Daryl from Foreign Pain. He plays guitar, and we're going to talk a little bit about this band and where they came from and how they're new, but they're also old. You'll hear all about it. But first, I want to play you a track off their record. This song is called On Failure, and it's off of their record Death of Divinity, due out September 3rd. Check it out. Foreign Pain.
Let's do it.
Well, no, wait. Let's instead of talking about your current band right now, let me tell you a little bit about yourself. When did you get involved, or how did you discover what we'll call extreme music?
Wow. As far as hardcore, just music in general.
Just like something that wasn't on the radio.
What was that Ramones movie called? Was it Rock and Roll High School?
That sounds right. Yeah.
I think that's what it was. I remember watching that with my uncle. I think I was five or six. I think that was the first time I saw stuff like that.
That's pretty early.
Yeah, and luckily I had my mom has, what does she have? Three brothers. My dad has, you get this wrong, seven or eight brothers.
Holy shit.
So I had tons of influences there.
So was your family into that type of stuff?
My mom's brothers were. They were the more rock and roll side, and then my dad's side was more, you know, Motown, soul, stuff like that.
Yeah. So when did you...
Yeah, that's probably the first thing was the Ramones movie.
When do you remember being like your first, the first album you bought, or record, or CD, or whatever, or tape, probably?
I want to say the one that I remember was the Faith No More.
I think it was the real thing.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That was the first thing. That was the first tape I got, and then from there it went to. What did I have? Someone made me a tape with Misfits, Sepultura. You know how you would mix it all up back then? You have, what, 90 minutes on each side?
Yeah.
So Misfits, Sepultura, No Effects, Ribbed, and Sick of It All.
That's a hell of a combination. All good, too, at least in my opinion. But you know what's funny? Because I didn't appreciate the Misfits until I was, like, way too old. Like, I shit on people who listen to the Misfits in high school for reasons I don't know, you know. I don't remember why. And then eventually one day I finally listened to, like, one of the Misfits' greatest hits, like, when I was way too old to know better. And I was like, holy shit, this is incredible.
Maybe it was the singing.
I don't know. I don't know what it was. But there's all sorts of, like, bands that I just thought weren't cool, and I don't know how I determined that. Like, I have no idea. Because I also thought... And I still do. If this go too far, I also thought Limp Bizkit was awesome. I still do. But there was bands that I thought sucked that I later found out were great, like the Misfits. And
okay.
And it's weird. But Sepultura, No Effects, Sick of It All, Misfits. I can see how that gets you into Sick of It All, of course, into more towards hardcore. What year are we talking here? Is this early 90s?
Early 90s, yeah. And then, you know, Pantera came along, and that was pretty heavy.
Yeah. The first Pantera, I think I found Pantera in the really traditional way back then, and it was like a late night showing of the Walk video. Like, I distinctly remember watching that in my parents' living room and being like, holy shit, there it is. You know, that's something different.
Yeah, I feel like Vulgar Display of Power was the first thing I heard.
Yeah, same here.
My buddy's older brother had that. So he was like the cool kid.
Do you have any... Pantera is like a weird one now. Because I still love Pantera. But a lot of people don't like them these days. Do you have any embarrassment about... Maybe not Pantera, but any of the bands that you really loved back then, like that now you can't... You can't get through?
Oh my God, there's too many to list. kind of all the, maybe not back then, but like the early 2000s metalcore stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm really big on that. Some of it's a little painful, but I still like it. It's nostalgic.
Yeah, no, that's how I feel. I feel that way about that stuff too. Although a lot of it didn't stand the test of time at all.
No.
Didn't hold up. But
not so much.
So when do you really like hone in on what you would consider hardcore music?
Oh, another friend's brother. I had a friend who had an older brother, and when he would go to work, we would go and I don't know, when you're a little kid you steal, but you would steal the blank tapes.
Yeah.
His brother would go to work, or you buy him too. I bought a bunch too, but you get the blank tapes, he'd go to work, we'd go out and we'd skate a little launch ramp, and you used to have the CD run all the way through and play to record, and that's kind of how I got into it. I would just, we'd look at his CDs, we'd record every single one, and I'd take them home.
That's funny, that is almost exactly what I did with my neighbor and his older brother, and I don't know what you were getting, but I was getting like this wide range of shit back then. Like I would be recording a Circle Jerks record, and the same day would be like some like early Marilyn Manson stuff. Like it was just like this guy had his taste all over the place, and it would be like, I don't know, like the earliest Bloodhound Gang shit. It was just all over, and somehow through all of that, like I stuck with the hardcore and the punk stuff, and but yeah, this sounds pretty similar, and that's really cool. It sounds like you've had a lot of people, or it sounds like you grew up around a lot of people who were into underground music of some sort.
Yeah, I got pretty lucky. I mean, I feel like I had the friends that went to like the Fat Record stuff. So they kind of like covered that corner.
Yeah.
I had the older, my friend's older brother was into the hardcore stuff. That got me into that. Then I had other friends who were just complete metalheads. So I went down that route. Hip hop friends from skateboarding and like skateboarding videos. I found a lot of music.
Yeah.
So I was kind of eclectic early on. Luckily.
Yeah, I think that's a cool, that's an important thing too. My wife and I were just talking about this. She is from Italy. Okay. And she always talks about how when she came here for like ninth grade or something, and then she was here for like ninth grade, and then she went back to Italy. But one of the things that was crazy to her was the way that in the States, cliques and friendships were made up based on the music that you listen to, largely based on the music that you listen to. And she said over in Europe, that is not how it works. And it just doesn't fucking matter. But over here, that's like the way it is, and that's still the way it is. As a guy who has kids who were teenagers and younger than that, it's still like that, right? And fortunately for myself, and it sounds like maybe you too, I liked it all, and I kind of floated between all the things just based on my musical taste. Did you experience the same type of thing?
Yeah, I think I just liked what I liked. But I think the reason I liked it is because the group of people I was surrounded by liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a big thing for me. I mean, how else do you hear about stuff?
Right. Well, in my case, it was circling random BMG CDs and getting them sent to your house. A full fucking mailbox full of CDs, and your mom get real mad at you.
Oh, yeah.
And you never pay it because in the fine print it says contract void if minor. It was a great, great scam. Great reverse scam. But so...
Yeah, I think I did that with like, what was that, Lumberjack Berry Distro? I remember I'd order everything from there.
It's the way to go, man. That was a simpler time. So
fun.
When did you feel like you first started going to see like local shows? And what, for you locally, was there like a local band that was the band when you started going?
Yeah, well, the first band I saw was Sick of It All. Hardcore wise. Mm-hmm. And I think I was 11. I think I was 11.
That's early. Yeah.
Yeah. But as far as local bands, San Diego had a band called Force Life. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
No, I don't think so.
And then Built to Last.
Okay.
Those were like the two local bands that I feel, you know, after Unbroken left. And there was a punk band, Swindle. Those are pretty much the bands that I saw when I was a kid that I gravitated towards anytime they played.
So what were they? What style were they playing?
I feel like Force Life is pretty much kind of Sworn Vengeance-y, Hatebreed.
Okay, pretty moshy.
Kind of hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Built to Last was, they're kind of hard. They're just a hardcore band.
Right, right. So when did you yourself start playing in bands?
Oh, I was way late. I didn't start playing in bands until I was in my 20s. It wasn't really wasn't a thing I was into. I just kind of like fell into it.
Was there a, what was it? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. I think I cut off for a second. So basically the first band I played in was Stick to Your Guns.
Okay.
And that wasn't, what year was that? 2006 to two, like the end of 2006 to 2008.
Okay. And that's
pretty much the first I played in.
From what I remember, that Stick to Your Guns around then, were you guys starting to get recognition and be successful then, you know, successful in hardcore terms then? Because I feel like that sounds like when I might have first heard of Stick to Your Guns.
For sure. It's when all the, I guess it was kind of a hype band, I would say.
Okay.
Like a MySpace hype band or something like that.
Yeah. But that was a different time, though. That was where it was like coming out of the metalcore haze, where melodic hardcore seemed like king. You know, and so it kind of made sense that Stick to Your Guns was so successful.
Yeah, it was a fun band to be in. It was actually really fun in the beginning.
Well, that's cool. I had no idea you were in that band. And yeah, it's definitely one I know. So did you keep playing in other bands before you started Foreign Pain, or when does Foreign Pain come along?
I did another band with a couple guys that didn't record or do anything. And then I did a band with Brad from Leftover Crack. And then the Graf Orlock singer, my buddy Kevin, and the current Foreign Pain drummer, Cena. And that lasted not too long. And then Foreign Pain came after that.
All right, so what year is that?
Foreign Pain or the other bands?
Foreign Pain.
Foreign Pain, I'm so bad with dates and stuff, but I feel like it was 2015 we started it.
2015, and I feel like I'm just hearing about you guys. What's been going on? Where's Foreign Pain been? What has Foreign Pain done that I'm not aware of up till now?
You're pretty much aware of all of it. The two singles. No, we... So basically, I met Aaron, the other guitar player. He's in a band called The Ghost Inside. Mm-hmm. And my last tour was Stick to Your Guns, but I think their first tour as The Ghost Inside, or the second or third, like a really early on tour. And I quit shortly after that. And then I ended up working at the venue Chain Reaction. I'm not sure if you're familiar.
Familiar, but never been there because I'm here. But yes.
Yeah. The Bury Your Dead DVD, that's what everyone talks about usually. But Aaron's band would play, The Ghost Inside would play there. I'd see him all the time. He ended up leaving the band. I can't remember if it's 2014. I don't know the exact date. But anyways, he would come around to shows. And I was like, hey, you want to work here if you're not doing anything? So we started working at Chain. And from there, I just brought it up to him. I was like, hey, you wanna jam a little? And that's where it was born.
What does working at Chain Reaction actually entail?
Just being a hardcore kid, pretty much. eating lots of candy, clearing a fire lane, sweeping up, helping bands load.
Yeah, yeah.
It's literally just hanging out with your friends.
That's what I imagine. And I only say that just from experience of venues over here and when everybody would work at them. It was more just hanging out, and sometimes they got paid too. And it was a pretty cool gig.
And that's kind of how I presented it to him. I was like, hey, you want to just come hang out? And, you know, sometimes you got to help kids to get hurt, sweep up. That's it. He's like, cool.
It's a good deal for the 20s at least.
Yeah.
So, Foreign Pain, the name stands out for me. I like the name, but I don't know what it means. What is there a significance to the name Foreign Pain? I know it's, I never asked this question to any bands, and I should ask it more because some people put a lot of fucking thought into them, and other people like me was in a band and got your name off a beer can. So, Foreign Pain, is there any significance here?
Very similar. Very similar. I have just not a very good answer, but it kind of goes into this, but we worked on about, I think it was 5 or 6 songs we had, and it was kind of just, the whole purpose of the band was just to hang out.
Yeah.
And, you know, jam, and I guess mostly just to hang out is pretty much the only thing we ever had going with the band. Like, it's time, work's over, let's jam for a little bit. But anyways, we had 6 songs, and then, you know, shows were talked about. Hey, let's play a show. Okay, what do you want to be called? We thought I think we had like 20 names. They're all pretty bad. I kind of like Foreign Pain now. I didn't like it at first. But so we go to record, and the show's coming up. They're like, hey, we haven't decided on a name. They're asked for a name for the flyer. We're like, dude, I don't know what to do. So when they're recording, they recorded with Roger and a guy named Joe, who's in the Warriors.
Okay.
And they're sitting there. And I think they just picked up a Warrior CD, started naming all the names and sending it to the group chat, and then finally came up with Foreign Pain. That's like the only one we landed on, so we could play a show with a name.
Well, you mentioned before there was the 20-ish names that were thrown out. Do you remember any from there? And do you have a least favorite or a favorite that you didn't pick?
I know a bunch of them were taken.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a funny thing with hardcore.
Rain Dance. I remember Rain Dance was one, and I was just like, I think there's a band called Rain Dance. I'm pretty sure.
Well, naming a hardcore band, I feel like has got to be the hardest type of band to name. Because you know how it is. Typically, it's a rather simple name.
Or you just put AD after it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But like you can't even Google, most hardcore band names. Like I try to do stuff with the website that goes along with this podcast, and when I want to input information for a band and I need to look something up for a band, it's hard to Google a band name Free. It's hard to Google a band name Clear. It's hard to Google a band name Disengage. Or I don't know. I haven't tried Googling Foreign Pain yet, but I bet a lot of shit comes up that is not related to a band, but it's funny to me, and I think that's the reason why we have so many repeating band names. But also, you have people that start a band and they say they're going to call it Think Again, which I'm sure there's 300 Think Agains that have existed, and then they record like some shitty demo, and then people determine that name is taken forever.
It's taken, yeah.
That's bullshit, man. It's like sports. Like you only retire the good numbers. Right, like somebody should be able to come. Like if Foreign Pain only ever puts out these two songs that are out right now, somebody else should be able, regardless of how good these songs are, just should be able to come along and take Foreign Pain if you're not active anymore. Hey, that's the way I feel.
Take it. You have my blessing. Take it if we only do two songs.
like it was a good two songs, but it's not enough to get you in the rafters. You know, it's not enough to retire a number. It's not number 23 for the Chicago Bulls, right?
Or add a number, Foreign Pain 12 or something.
Yeah, I hear. So, anyway, as far as I can tell, and I think you've confirmed that this record that is coming out, Death of Divinity, is your first record. But you guys sound pretty seasoned. Obviously, that has to do with your experience. And but you've mentioned that you've been working on it for 5 to 6-ish years. So what has taken so long?
Well, I think the whole problem or the issue was we didn't really know what we wanted to do. Just like I said, it was just kind of a fun little hangout type of thing. We finally got 6 songs done. I feel like that was at the end of 2006. They were recorded, but there was no vocals. So we just tracked all the guitars, drums, bass. And then our singer, Doyle, he's a pretty busy dude. Like, he has a merch company. I think he works 14-hour days. So basically, he was kind of too busy. And since it wasn't a real priority, we didn't get the vocals done for a whole year on the 6 songs. And then during that process, we just kept writing. So we had another 3 or 4 songs. And I remember the look on their faces when I think I was the one that was kind of like, hey, let's just do a full length, because who knows if we're ever going to do something again. This could be just a one time. There was no like label or there wasn't really a future for it. We're just going to jam as long as we could. And it was fun.
Yeah.
So then we recorded a couple more songs. I think it was 3 and an interlude. And the same thing, he was just very busy. So another year goes by. And then yeah, it was crazy. I mean, it was frustrating at some points, but not so much because there was no expectation. You know what I mean? It was just kind of, oh, one day we'll get to it and it'll be a thing. But I remember people like asking, hey, when's the record done? Like, can we hear it? Blah, blah, blah. So we finally get it recorded. I want to say middle of 2019. I could be wrong on that, but it's 2019. Then we got it mixed, and then finally we're where we're at.
Well, you are way more patient than I am, but if we're being honest, that would probably be the guy who was not recording the vocals for so long. So, but there's so at this point though, all right, maybe it's coming out 2021, allegedly. By the way, what is the release date for this record? I can't find that anywhere.
I'm almost 100% sure it's September 3rd.
So okay, so that's like next Friday, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's coming out September 3rd of 2021.
Yeah.
So you already have, you physically already have it?
I have a CD copy, not the vinyl version. That's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, I'm sure that'll be a couple years from now. Not your fault though. That's just pressing plants. But so you've released two singles so far, On Failure and Nell, which, in my opinion, sound pretty different from each other. I mean, I hear that it's the same band, but which song, well, you know, one's more melodic, one's more not. Which one of those songs better represents what the rest of Foreign Pain sounds like, or is it just the combination of both?
I would say they both do, and then some more.
Okay.
I feel like it's kind of... We used to joke about it at practice. We would like write these songs. Obviously, we did it in a, how can I explain it? Kind of like a recording project process, to where he wasn't really singing the songs at practice. You know, we'd record all the music and then he would sing to it.
Yeah.
So when you hear a lot of the songs without vocals, I remember the singer, Doyle, and the bass player, Sean, and I think I even said it a couple times, like, this sounds completely different. Like, it could be like one of those Roadrunner United
type. Yeah.
Have you heard of those CDs where they do the guests and whatever?
Of course I have. Yes, and I love new metal. Of course I've heard those.
Yeah. Okay, cool. but I felt like it could have been something like that, where you could have put a different vocalist on every song and it would have made sense for that style of vocalist. But I think what makes it is it's the same singer and his vocals kind of make the record, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I think it's like the between On Failure and Now, I think it's both songs sound like the same band, right? Like, I don't think that this sounds like two different bands. I just think I'm going to mix up the titles here, but I think Nell is the more melodic one. And On Failure is maybe the heavier, more, I don't want to say aggressive, but, you know, it's what's a fucking stupid term that, like, a critic would use, like, angular riffs? Is that a thing? Do people say that?
Yeah, or turmoil-ish.
Yeah.
Turmoil-ish.
Yeah.
One's a little more, you know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. But I do think it sounds like it all sounds like Foreign Pain, as, you know, as I know it. But so those two songs have been released. How long have both those been out? A couple weeks each?
I think On Failure was a month ago, and maybe Nell was 2 weeks, I think.
Okay, yeah, that's about what I thought. So with them being out and those being the only things out for Foreign Pain so far, what has the reception been like for you? What's the feedback you've gotten?
I was surprised on... we've been waiting to be on Lamb Goat. We're waiting for the Lamb Goat comments. We'd all joke about it, like, oh man, I hope this goes on Lamb Goat.
I don't think they're what they're used actually, to be.
No, they were super nice on the first single. The second one got a little bit of funny shit on it. That was cool. But so far, it's been good. I mean, I always thought we would just be a band. I didn't think many people would like it because it's just a little bit different. Not much different, but there's just... Yeah. I don't know, because we played five shows in five years.
Yeah, it's a good average. You guys are killing it.
Every time it was crickets, you know, and I remember my buddy being like, yeah, man, this is cool. I just don't really get it. But also, there was nothing to listen to.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to be a super engaging band when nobody knows your music. I mean, it's not whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. Like, it's hard as a member in the crowd, as someone in the crowd, to be super engaged if you don't know anything they're playing. But I've been there. I've had bands get up on stage in front of me and never heard a word or note and totally kill it. And I remember one band specifically from Memphis called Dead City. They were so cool. I know there's like a California band named Dead City now, but it's like the entire opposite of that. But anyway,
off track. That was a Vision for me when I saw the band Vision when I was a little kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just like, whoa.
Yeah,
Vision, crazy.
Vision was a good one. Vision played a legendary show here with Vision and Kill Your Idols and Violent Society at the First Capital Skate Park. And you don't know what any of that means, but it was a it was quite a time. But anyway, so you guys, I guess you have a little bit of a name recognition with this band. I didn't know you had all those different ex members of, but even just the Ghost Inside and Stick to Your Guns, if you just put that on something, that, whether you wanted to or not, automatically bumps you up. And we all know that hardcore is what's most important about getting somewhere in hardcore. And I'm being a little facetious, but also really serious, is it's about who you know. Mm-hmm. It's about who you know and who you are, and that's easier to get places. So how have you guys been able to use your past bands to your advantage so far with Foreign Pain, being that you've only played five shows?
We actually tried not to have that be a thing. Yeah. Like, that's just coming out recently with, you know, the blogs and reviews and whatnot. But yeah, we tried not to market it as that. We kind of just wanted to start from the ground up.
That's fair. That's good for you guys. I mean, I would have totally milked the shit out of it, but good for you guys.
I think just because we don't really sound like those bands.
No, yeah, I'd agree. Yeah.
And also, like, not to, I don't know, I feel like they're not very, like, loved bands in the hardcore scene. They're kind of mollish, you know what I mean?
Yeah, why is that, though? Unfortunately. I never quite understood it, but I don't know. But I also do understand it, because I was one of those people that was, like, fully immersed in the hardcore, and the Ghost Inside and Stick to Your Guns were kind of in, but not all the way. They were seen as more of the accessible, on the edge bands. But when I listen to it, I don't really hear it.
And they were popular too.
Yeah.
And they were popular. So people are just, you kind of already are like, I don't want to like the popular thing, you know?
Right.
I want to listen to For the Love Of or Light Is the Language, like the bands no one knows about.
Yeah.
I want to know the coolest bands.
Did you say Light Is the Language?
Yeah,
like Occam's Razor.
Remember I love that song? All that stuff, dude.
Yeah, that shit was so cool. What year was that? I don't feel like I've never heard anybody else mention Light as a Language. That's awesome.
I like hardcore.
I used to make these back in, let's say early 2000s, because I was still in high school. I graduated in 2003, so like, let's say 2001. I would make these mixed CDs for friends of mine, and I would just put, and it, all it would say was like hardcore, and I would put so much different shit on it. And now I listen to that, to those CDs, if I can, you know, when I come across them, and they're crazy. All the shit that was considered hardcore back in 2001, it's insane. The way it sounds from, you know, the beginning to the end. But yeah, that was fun. That's the way I like it, though.
What a lost art form, though, making those CDs and tapes.
Yeah. I get to do a little bit of that with this from time to time, where I decide I'm going to do a radio episode, and then I just get to play whatever the fuck I want to play. And
That's cool.
It is. So, how'd you guys end up with Good Fight? Is this a product of like we were just talking about, knowing people?
Kind of, and pure luck. The singer Doyle, he has a merch company, and I'm pretty sure he was I don't know what he was printing, but he's printing for Good Fight. I don't know if it's for the label or bands through the label. And I haven't met him yet, but his name's Rick over at Good Fight. I think he said something along the lines of, hey, I heard you have a band, I want to hear it. So he sent him the full length, and he was stoked on it. And I think we're all surprised. We're like, oh shit, he actually likes it. And he just said, hey, I want to put this out, even with knowing we're not really going to be a full-time touring band.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're pretty stoked.
That's awesome. And the way I think of Good Fight, and I don't know if this is the correct way to think of Good Fight, is that it's like the second version of Ferret Records,
right? Oh yeah,
like that's like yeah. In my mind, that's all. Like that's what it is. I know it's more than that, right? But to me, it's basically just Carl went from went from Ferret to Goodfight, and again, there's nothing
cool because I love Ferret.
Yeah. Yeah, you know how it was back then. You latch on to, well, still probably for some people, but more so for myself back then, you latch on to labels, and it was whatever comes out on Ferret's usually cool, although it got a little not cool. But, yeah, but, you know, Trustkill had all the shit. But, so anyway, so you got a lot of momentum going into this debut LP for a band that's only played 5 shows, so where... And what do Foreign Pain do from here?
That's a good question. I mean, they know we can't be a full-time touring band. Everyone's, you know, in their mid, late, early 30s. Wife, kids, jobs, careers.
Yeah.
But we're kind of open. It's weird. Since the signing, I feel like the guys in the band are a lot more down to do stuff. Was a pretty big push to where I think they would do like fly out weekends, you know, West Coast runs, play as much as humanly possible. So that's pretty much, well, when the world opens back up and it's kind of normal.
I don't know when that's ever going to happen, but it's weird to think about, like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I haven't been to my first show yet, though I planned to. But then my wife and daughter were both sick at the same time, so I thought I probably shouldn't go. But anyway, I still got my Judas Priest tickets for September. But I don't know. Like I haven't gone out to anything yet. Not because I don't want to. I just haven't made it out yet. Where do you stand with all this? Not politically, but like as far as just going to shows.
I just worked a Mind Force show the other day. So I got to see Mind Force and who else played that show? Ingrown. Who else played that? It was a really good show, though. Every band was good on it.
That's awesome. I don't know. I feel like Mind Force is just, they can do no wrong at this point. Like,
he reminds me of like, I don't know. He just has that old voice, almost like a Sick of It All. Like he could sing for Sick of It All or Cro-Mags or Bad Brains. He just has a cool voice. The riffs are awesome. I think that band's cool.
Leeway, he would fit in with Leeway perfectly fine.
Yeah.
He does a good Eddie Leeway, even if he's not trying to.
Yeah, he just has a good, clear, it's hard to explain. It's just like a perfect hardcore voice.
Right. Yeah. No, I totally agree. So Foreign Pain drops September, I'm sorry, Death of Divinity by Foreign Pain drops September 3rd on Good Fight Music. And when is the last time you put out a record?
I have another band called Dark Blue.
Okay.
And it's more like, I don't know, Youth of Today. It's more primitive or something. Just regular straight up hardcore. And that was in 2018.
Okay, so it's been a little bit. It's been a couple of years. Is what I'm getting at. So for you, what is the most exciting part about this record's release? Like, is it the? I mean, you said you already have a CD in your hand. So is it physically getting your hand? Is it finally getting people to hear these songs? Is it just being able to move on to something else? Because I know sometimes for people, it's just nice to put a feather in the cap and do something different. What is it for you?
I would say it's all. Like, I'm a big vinyl guy, so when I get the vinyl, that's kind of icing on the cake for me.
Yeah.
Definitely for people to hear it. I think they'll like it. I don't know. I'm kind of a hard critic, especially on myself, and I think it's a pretty easy listen. And what was the last question you asked?
I think I said something about just moving on, doing something different.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we want to write more.
Yeah.
Which it slowed down a lot because it got a little tiring going almost 6 years and not having anything happen. So I think we're a little more recharged now.
Yeah, I can imagine. Do you expect that you'll stay in the direction that you're musically, or do you think you're gonna, or what would you even? I guess we kind of touched on the fact that you're, that Foreign Pain is kind of, I don't want to say all over the place, but we're pretty spread out through the spectrum of hardcore. But do you, I don't know, is that the intention for the band, to just be kind of undefined in under the umbrella and just kind of be able to slide from show to show? Like, do you feel like that's gonna open up different opportunities, better opportunities, and just being narrowed in, like you said, like to your other band, like just we're doing the straight up hardcore punk thing, and where with Foreign Pain, you're kind of doing a few different things that allows for more accessibility?
Yeah, I don't think much is going to change. So I think when we would write, we would just come up with a part that sounds cool. And if we thought it sounded cool, it didn't matter if it, you know, like if we went from a blast beat into a melodic part. Yeah. We just kind of wrote whatever we liked. Because a lot of the other songs are, I wouldn't say drastically different, but they're a little bit different on the album. But each song's a little bit different.
Right, right.
So going forward, I mean, we have some weird riffs. So we have some weird newer riffs. So I don't know where it's going to go, to be honest.
What do you have, so is there anything planned for, maybe I already asked this in a different way, but is there anything in plan for Foreign Pain in the near future? Like, is there a record release show? Is there any kind of small touring plans? Anything happening coming up?
None of that yet, unfortunately. But I think it's all just too up in the air with how the world is right now.
No, I like it. You know, Foreign Pain. Why rush, right? That's like your guys' motto. Like, it's just like...
yeah. We're four and 6 years and we're all 45.
Just wait till you got your AARP cards and then you can get discounts at hotels and stuff. And yeah, it'll be nice.
yeah.
Well, all right. So one more time, I want to go over this. Death of Divinity, Good Fight Records. What do they say? Good Fight Music, Good Fight Records. What's the correct term?
I want to say Good Fight Music. I call it Good Fight Records, but I think it's Good Fight Music.
Let's call it Good Ferret. Good Ferret Records. And coming out on... No, I'm kidding. Coming out on September 3rd. And...
Yep. I mean, thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
We're kind of a unknown nobody, so that's cool you even took the time to do that.
No, of course. I was glad. Once I heard about you, I was glad to... So I dig it. I'm excited to hear the full record. But I guess I will in one more week. That's all it is. One more week.
One more week, yeah. It came fast. 6 years came fast.
it's just a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
All right, Dale. Have a good night.
Appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. Later. So there you have it. That was my conversation with Daryl of Foreign Pain. The song you just heard was Nell from Death of Divinity, which is out September 3rd on Good Fight Music. Get it everywhere. CDs already available. Vinyl eventually. Digital right at your fingertips. I want to thank Daryl for taking the time to have that conversation. He has another awesome band called Dark Blue. As he mentions, a little more hardcore punk. If you like that, I suggest you check that out. The trick with that one, though, is that it's DRKBLU. No A or E in Dark Blue. I don't know why. I'm sure there's a reason, but it's a little bit complicated. Or maybe it's not. I really wouldn't know. But that's going to be it for this week's episode. But before we end, I want to encourage you once again to donate to the Skid Row Garage GoFundMe. If you need direction on where to find the link, just follow me at @getting_it_out_podcast on Instagram. And I post the link pretty regularly in my stories. So go there and donate. We're up to, I think, 32,000. We want to get it to 40. So 8,000 more to go. It's only been a week, maybe, that it's been up. So it's pretty good. But trying to make the rest of that cash to get this venue straightened out. Anyway. We're going to end this with the song, as we always do. This time, it's a band from Lithuania. They are called Erdv, and I'm probably going to pronounce all of this wrong. The song is called Lavandemis, and it is off of their album Savigala. It's on Season of Mist Records. It's out now. Very cool band. Check out this song, and go look them up if you like it. Thank you for listening. That's all for this week. Bye-bye.